welcome everybody on a Tuesday. Trash Talk Tony Browski is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. And joining me today, my whole crew is back together with me. I've got Eli, Mike, Jay, Grant, and Tyler. Let's begin with Eli. How are you today, Eli? How was your first kind of full week of school? How's work going? How's life treating you?
I was sick this past week. Oh. Had reached a fever almost 101, but I made it. I'm almost better. I'd say by Friday I should be back to 100%.
Hey now.
Work's been good. I got paid for today, even though I didn't work. Paid holiday, Labor Day. I'm doing school? Pretty good. School is it's good to see OU campus pretty much how it was before the pandemic.
Is it actually like back to what it used to be?
There's like, I mean, I only went one day, but yeah, there was, a lot.
The first day too. There's always a lot of people on the first day.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. Like I haven't seen that many people in a long time, and it's fantastic.
Good to see that you're doing well, Eli. Now let's go to Mike Bilica. How are you today, Mike? How was your first full week of school? And how was your Labor Day weekend? Did you go all out this weekend?
Went all out, yup.
Oh, great. Yes, baby. He went all out.
Stop it. I had a great Labor Day weekend.
How much food was consumed this weekend, Mike?
We'll just say an excessive amount, but
what did you eat holiday? Just on Labor Day? Wasn't it burgers, steak, fries?
Oh yeah. Burgers, lamb? Steak, fries, lamb chops. I had it all. I went, like I said, I went all out.
Oh, he went all out, baby. Yes, he did.
Oh, boy.
How's school going, though?
Great, actually.
How do you feel to be back on Wayne's campus?
It felt great, just like OU. It was full. I mean, it was alive, and people were, you know, getting back to normal. It's fun. Missed it.
That's good to hear. Let's move on in the introductions. Jay Horn. Hello, Jay. How are you doing today? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. I lost my voice this weekend.
Why did you lose your voice?
I started doing, you know, camera, you know, I picked the camera back up and was doing some shoots for some concerts, and I screamed a lot, and my legs hurt. You know, Eli was sick, my body's destroyed.
Your legs hurt? What happened to your legs?
I didn't sit down for like 10 hours straight.
Oh, no.
You know, so the voice is getting back up there. I feel good.
You know, I saw that you tweeted that you need like a little recovery.
Yeah, I haven't really done that much camera work in like about 5 or 6 months, so I'm pretty good though.
How does it feel to get the camera back in your hands?
It was actually pretty fun. A lot of little therapy for me, minus my voice going away, but I feel good other than that. Had a great, fun, eventful weekend, you know?
Yeah, we love to hear that. Yeah. How are the hoop runs going?
The hoop runs are great. You know, I haven't really lost much at OU this past like week, you know. Next time I go, I'm like 20 and 5 this week.
20 and 5.
Like next week, I'm gonna bring Eli up there, you know.
Yeah.
But Jay, it's good to have you back on the show, though. Good to have you back. Next up, Grant Richards. How are you today, Grant? And as always.
How was the sports betting this weekend?
Oh
man, we are good. We are enjoying the fact that it is Monday and I didn't have to do anything today.
Man.
I caught up on a Harry Potter marathon with me and my brother, so that was a great spent Labor Day.
You have a brother?
Yes. You have a man, my brother?
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Younger or older brother?
He's younger. He's 22.
Okay.
So he's like kind of some of your guys' age.
He's my age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, man. We finished dead even. I stuck to my word and took Western Michigan +17. And that felt good in like the first quarter. And then
it felt good in the first quarter. They had this in the first half, not gonna lie.
They did. I was like, oh man.
You were at the big house though.
Yes. That was immaculate. That was full crowd. Just everyone, like, there's a new energy when you go to sporting events, especially like football. It just feels like everyone is not only happy to be there, but happy to be back. At least for the first game back. I don't know if that continues with new fans and everything, but first game fully back was just an incredible feeling. But if I didn't mention, I finished even on the week.
No, yeah, you did. So,
two straight weeks of non-losing. How's your sports betting, Tony?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm happy to hear that you finished at least even on the week and you weren't down. Because unfortunately, boys, the winning streak has come to an end. I did make it interesting towards the end of the week. Sunday had a three-team MLB parlay that if it would have cashed, it would have put me over and would have been another winning week. Would have moved the winning streak to 7. But 2 out of 3 on that. The Tampa Bay Rays let me down. You just hate to see it, and the winning streak is over. But you know what? It's fine, though, because even though it was a losing week, it was also kind of a winning week. Because I finished even on the first college football Saturday of the year. Finished even. I had, like, 6 bets, and we went 3-3. It was a losing week. The winning streak is over. By the same time, we started the college football betting season kind of on a high note. I can't complain about that. Last but not least, Tyler Sawa. How are you doing today, Tyler?
Doing well. Just came off work right now. Took a little nap. I'm doing this right now, so I'd call that a pretty productive day.
It sounds pretty productive to me. I'm just happy to have my whole crew back together for another Trash Talk episode. And it's going to be a big episode this week. So without further ado, let's just get right into it. Later in the program, it's NFL predictions time. As I've teased throughout the past few weeks, we have regular season NFL football this week. I'm so ready. And because of that, on the show today, we're going to talk about how we think the Lions are going to do this season, how we think Grant's Vegas Raiders are going to do. Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun, I'm sure, especially the Raiders. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Michigan State getting wins in their week one matchups. But to start, let's begin with Sekou. How many episodes have we done on this show where somewhere in the program we talked about Sekou? He was a popular topic on our program, whether we talked about his performance on the court, trade rumors, whatever the case might have been. Sekou was a major talking point for us since we drafted him a few years ago. And now here we are today, getting ready to talk about how Sekou is traded to the Brooklyn Nets over the weekend. The full trade was the Pistons sending Sekou and Jahlil Okafor to Brooklyn, and the Nets signing to Detroit DeAndre Jordan, who we already waived, and he's going to the Lakers. Pistons legend DeAndre Jordan. And the Pistons also got 4 second-round picks in the deal, along with $5.78 million. Woj was the first to report the trade on Friday. Listen, I think we all knew a Sekou trade was going to come sooner rather than later. Even for a Sekou defender like me, I knew this was eventually going to come. Troy Weaver did not draft Sekou. The minute Troy got hired here, he was getting rid of guys that were not brought in by him. And as more and more players were getting dealt and sent away off the team, it just started to feel like Sekou's time was eventually coming to an end in Detroit. Despite him being still at a young age, and despite him being a former first-round pick by the Pistons just a few years ago, it just felt like his time was coming. It definitely sucks for me to see Sekou go personally because, like I said earlier, I'm a Sekou defender. I'm not afraid to admit that. Despite him not really showing a whole lot in his first few seasons, I was still a Sekou defender, and it definitely sucks to see him go. But at the same time, though, and I mentioned this in my video reacting to the trade on Friday, getting back 4 second-round picks in the deal is a win for me. I like getting back all those seconds. I like the move just because of all the second-round picks the Pistons are getting back in this deal. DeAndre Jordan, I'm not upset at all that we waived him. He wasn't going to play for us. He was never going to play for us, so I really don't care that we waived DeAndre. He'll always be a Pistons legend to me. And then as for Jahlil Okafor, goodbye, my friend. Thank you for helping us get the first overall pick in the draft in Cade Cunningham. Overall, for me, I didn't hate the trade. As I kind of mentioned already, I actually like the deal because of the second round picks that the Pistons are getting back. It still stinks to see Sekou go, but I do wish him the best with the Nets. As I've said, we knew this was coming. This is Troy Weaver's team now. Everyone that was on the team when he got here is now gone. It is truly Troy Weaver's team now. Sekou is the final piece to fall, and now he's going to Brooklyn. I wish him the best, but I don't think this is a bad deal for the Pistons. And with that, let's bring in the other gentlemen. I want to start with Eli and Mike specifically. Eli, what were your thoughts on the trade?
I'm going to play a little devil's advocate and say I really don't understand the move at all, and I feel like it could have been avoided. I understand the 4 second-round picks, but you're not getting the 4 second-round picks because you're trading Sekou. You're getting those because you're eating DeAndre Jordan's $20 million for the next 2 years. So it's not really like I just feel like giving up on a player who's 20 years old who, yeah, you said he hasn't shown much, which is true, but the flashes you've seen are like they're eye-popping. The good moments Sekou has had are like eye-popping to me. And, you know, for us, you know, I don't want to say small market, but like a team that it's probably going to have to build through the draft, giving up on a 20-year-old who has shown those flashes, it's just like, what are we doing here? You know, how many times are we going to do this before we learn that we need to be a little more patient? I personally would have given Sekou another year, and then I would have been complete. Like, a year from now, if Sekou didn't show anything, I would have been completely fine with this deal. But after their second year, I always like to give players 3 years before, you know, I don't mind moving them. So I'm going to have a bad taste in my mouth until, you know, proven otherwise. Like, if Sekou doesn't end up becoming the good player I think he could become, then I could say, okay, I'm wrong. But, you know, if Sekou, especially with all those vets they have on the Nets, I don't know if he's going to stick around on the Nets, but he's got a lot of good mentors on the Nets. And, you know, if they help tutor him and teach him some things, give him some moves, Sekou could become a really good player like I think he can, because he has all the tools. You know, he just hasn't been able to put them all together at once for a full 48 minutes yet. And he hasn't played 100 games, so, you know, we'll see.
I want to expand on that. What do you think, when you look back at Sekou's time here, what do you think actually went wrong? Why didn't it work out here?
A part of it is he never had a defined role. What are his strengths? His strengths are running out in transition and cutting in the half court. And with the way Dwayne Casey plays on offense, we're not a very good fast break team. We don't get out and run a lot. He always wants to run his stagnant sets where Sekou's just sitting in the corner. And I think his development has just been, you know, not prioritized at all, to where, you know, he had any chance here. Anyway, I've always said Sekou's going to become a good player, but it's probably not going to be here, just because he has never been used correctly at all. And I hope, you know, the Nets might put him in the G League or something, and he'll have a full season in the G League to just show what he can do and improve his skills.
Mike, I want you in here as well. What were your thoughts on the trade?
Yeah, I also think it was too early. He's 20, same age as me. I mean, I can't understand giving up on someone that early, but it is what it is. What am I supposed to do? You know, like Eli said, I honestly never thought he was going to necessarily develop here, not because of his fault, but just the coaching style and what we actually do with him on the court, which sucks, but you know, always knew it would be like this.
What is your reaction when I talk about how it kind of felt like this was coming because Troy Weaver didn't draft him, and Troy was getting rid of everybody that was not brought in by him. I mean, do you agree with me when I say that I kind of felt like this was coming because of that?
I do, because he was, like you said, he was doing it left and right with, you know, previous players. So there's only one left, and the last one is gone.
Eli?
Yeah, it was inevitable to me. I mean, he obviously wants his own guys in here, and he has his own team now, so we'll see. In my opinion, I just think it could have been avoided. Like, you know, you could have not signed Trey Lyles, and you could have still had Sekou on the team. Like, that's the way I look at it. So, I mean, we'll see if, in the long run, who's right and who's wrong. But giving up on a 20-year-old is never going to leave a good taste in my mouth.
Jay, because of time, you'll have the final word on this. I want to save Grant and Tyler for the next two segments. Jay, what were your thoughts on the trade as well?
As much flag as I give him, I was a little upset, a little happy, kind of in the middle, because in summer league, his defense was like much better than like the past two seasons. I feel like he won't play as much in New York because of, like, I mean, that team is pretty stacked. But I feel like here, like Eli was saying, he's like a slash in like 3 or 4. And we weren't like a team like that. He slashed a lot and he only shot in the corner on the wing. And if he wasn't the best shooter, so I get it. And I feel like out of like all three like small forwards or like two, he was the worst one. So I figured it would have been him. But like he said, I don't like Trey Lyles. So I feel like if he didn't come here, he probably would have stayed. But I figured he'd be traded like either early this season or like before the deadline. So I'm not surprised though.
Am I the only one that cares about the second round picks that we're getting back? Because that's the biggest reason I like this deal, is the 4 second round picks. I mean, the more draft ammunition, if you will, that you can get, the better for me personally, especially for a team that's rebuilding. Am I the only one that kind of feels that way?
I mean, they're great, but you're also eating DeAndre Jordan's contract. Now, granted, next year free agency is not that great, but you're also, you know, I don't know, the way Troy has used, like, eating contracts and stretching and stuff like that, it's been kind of weird to me so far. I'm just not one of those people that just, you know, has like blind faith in Troy Weaver that, oh, everything he does is gold. I am kind of like, you know, I know he has a plan, but some of the things he's doing, just, I gotta see in the long run if it pays off.
He was so young though, like he was 20. Like, I feel he's gonna bubble somewhere else and we're gonna be sick in like 3 years, personally.
He is still very young, and that's something that I brought up. But another point that I'm going to try to hammer here is that he wasn't a Troy Weaver guy. And that's why I was spending a lot of my segment talking about how it's not surprising to me that this happened. Like, if this just came out of the blue, out of nowhere, I would have been like, oh, well, I honestly would have probably agreed with you. And I would have been like, okay, we're just kind of giving up on a 20-year-old who we just drafted in the first round a couple years ago. But Sekou was the first-round pick of the quote-unquote Ed Stefanski regime, even though he wasn't – his official title wasn't even the general manager of this team. You know, we didn't have a GM technically when Ed Stefanski was kind of running the show. And now it's Troy Weaver's team. Troy Weaver did not bring in Sekou. If Troy did not think that Sekou was going to be much – I'm not going to argue it. I'm just not going to. Even for a Sekou defender like me, I'm not going to argue it because I understand it. He did not bring in Sekou. So, Sekou is the final piece to the puzzle, as I said and as Mike said as well. He was the final piece to the puzzle that Troy Weaver did not bring in. And as I tweeted on Friday, it is now really Troy Weaver's team. I don't know. We'll see. The Sekou chapter with the Pistons is over, and what a chapter it was. We spent a lot of time on this show talking about Sekou. Now he's in net. Just like the Pistons and Sekou will do, they're moving on. We'll move on as well in the show. On the football talk, we'll end with our NFL predictions, but I want to start the football segment here by quickly talking about Michigan and Michigan State. Both teams got wins over the weekend to start their seasons. Michigan, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. It took them a minute to get going, offensively and defensively, but they eventually got rolling and didn't look back against Western. Kay McNamara, he looked good. That throw from J.J. McCarthy was absolutely unreal as well. Blake Corum was impressive. Defensively, Aiden Hutchinson looks like an absolute monster. You did what you were supposed to do against Western. Now, on a negative note, it does suck to see Ronnie Bell go down. That really, really sucks. You have to feel for the guy. That was a terrible injury, and to see a player like that have a season over after one game is absolutely brutal. But other than that, a lot of positives for Michigan in week one. Moving on to week two, I'm picking you to win that game. Washington just lost to Montana. Okay? I think right now you should beat Washington at home on Saturday night on ABC. Will you? Who knows? This is still a Jim Harbaugh Michigan team. The last time I checked the line, it was at Michigan minus six. I don't know. We'll see. I think you win that game, but we'll see. As for Michigan State, that was an impressive way to open up the year. Now, Northwestern looked awful, but I also liked how Michigan State played. And so did Tyler, my new Michigan State buddy. Hey, listen, Kenneth Walker, he absolutely went off, 264 yards and four TDs. And MSU as a team ran for over 300 yards on the ground. The offense had over 500 total yards. The defense completely took the run away from Northwestern as well. Good win to open the year for Michigan State. I liked what I saw, and that's a very good way to start year two under Mel Tucker. Tyler, my new Michigan State buddy, let's start with you. Your thoughts on your Michigan State Spartans starting the year off with a win? And then if you want to talk about Michigan's win as well, you can.
I wouldn't go as far to say I'm a Spartan fan. Like, I don't I lean more Michigan, but like I'm not a college diehard fan for either of them. So I'm not a big fan of either one. So like I like to just watch and enjoy. Like if either of them win, I'm excited. But if they're versing each other, I'm going to vote Michigan's way. But like I'm not as dedicated to either team like that, like I am with like the Lions or the Tigers or the Pistons or the Wings. So, you know, it's a little more neutral. But I really enjoyed what I saw in Michigan State on Friday, man. They were 3-point underdogs going to Northwestern. Yeah. And you mentioned it, like they weren't, you know, Northwestern doesn't look like a very good football team this year because they lost so much talent.
They look terrible.
I mean, they had two first-round players in the last draft, Greg Newsome and Rashawn Slater.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was expected to drop off because obviously they're not a big university where they're going to get, you know, tons of talent like Alabama with, like, I'm not going to get into that. But what Michigan State did on Friday, just an overall dominant performance in every phase of the football, you know, I mean, they just looked good, man. Like, it was a very smart football team. You know, wasn't stupid penalties. Just playing really smart, good tackling. I enjoyed it. It was a good brand of football. You say it's year two of Mel Tucker, and, like, technically it is year two of Mel Tucker, but in my eyes, this is year one of Mel Tucker.
That's fair.
Yeah, because this is, like, his first actual recruitment class and, mm-hmm. you know, his transfers. And, you know, he gets a guy from, where is he, Iowa? Kenneth Walker from Iowa, I believe.
Kenneth Walker was from Wake Forest.
Wake Forest, sorry. I mean, he just looked very good. Four touchdown performance to open up his Michigan State career. I mean, he looks like a legit running back. We'll see.
First play of the season.
Yeah.
75 yards to the house. I flipped out of my chair.
Yeah. No. And even the quarterback, Peyton Thorne, you know, I thought he looked impressive too.
I thought he was good. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he wasn't a guy. I mean, he had to compete for the job all summer long and, you know, he earned it. Mel Tucker said he earned it. So, I mean, that was a good sign in Michigan State football. Like, are they going to be a good football team this year? Probably not. But, like, I think you could see a direction here with this football team where maybe somewhere down the line in this Mel Tucker era, maybe it can get back to where it was, you know, in that prime D'Antonio stage when you guys had Connor Cook, when you guys had Kirk Cousins. You know, maybe Tucker could, you know, revitalize Michigan State a little bit. I mean, it's going to take a lot because Michigan State's not a big-time university, obviously, where you guys could get big-time recruits. But, I mean, I think Mel Tucker is showing that he has a good eye for talent. And he's not only a good eye for talent, he's a good coach as well because, like I said, the players were executing the game plan perfectly. Like, they, you know, they were an underdog. And I know Northwestern doesn't look like a good football team this year, but you guys were going, like, you guys were an underdog going into the game, mm-hmm. and you guys mm-hmm. looked like a very good football team. And, you know, it just looks like a young, chippy team that's going to, you know, be aggressive every game. It's a good brand of football. I like it. I like what Mel Tucker did in his week one performance versus Northwestern.
Michigan did what they were supposed to do against Western. And after
Michigan
seeing,
looked good. Yeah, Michigan looked good. I mean, that was expected. I mean, Michigan was a 17-point favorite in that game. They did what they
Grant
had to do.
Grant took Western plus 17.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they did what they had to do. I mean, the Big House was – it looked like it was bumping, man, that first game. And I'm actually expecting to go to Ann Arbor for my first time going to a Michigan game this Saturday, so I'm excited.
Oh, you're going to Saturday night.
I'm excited. I've never been to a Michigan game before, and I'm expected Ooh. To go to my first game this week. So I'm excited. Because, I mean, last Saturday, just it looked like a great atmosphere, and I want to experience it. Maybe at some point this year I have to go to a Michigan State game this year. I never thought I would say that.
I'll go with you.
I might have to go to a Mel Tucker Michigan State game. Because I like Mel Tucker, man. I like Mel Tucker.
I like Mel Tucker, too.
It's a good brand of football, man.
Yeah. As I was going to say, Michigan did what they were supposed to do against Western, and seeing how bad Northwestern looks, Michigan State did what they were supposed to do as well. Before we get to Grant, I want to bring Mike in here really quickly, because Tyler, for a brief moment, brought up Alabama.
I was Mike. About to say something. Alabama.
they look absolutely unstoppable again. Miami is, they went to that game, I think, like 14th in the country. And Alabama yeah. just absolutely smacked them around. They don't rebuild down there. They reload. And oh my, have they reloaded. Bryce Young looks like another stud quarterback for them. It's unreal, Tyler. They lost so much.
Is Bama turning into QBU?
Well, we got to see with we got to see with Tua still. But yeah, hey, Mac has a well. We have to see about Mac. But guess who's the starting quarterback in New England now?
Guess who the starting kickers in New England too?
Oh jeez. Well, that's a Michigan man.
Yeah, Quinn Nordin.
Bill loves those Michigan men. Let me tell you why. But Mike, how'd you feel about Alabama?
Man, like you said, they don't rebuild down there.
They reload.
They don't stop.
They lost so much this offseason.
It's like a brand new offensive line.
Well, not just that. They lost Mac.
When you lose Mac, you lose a lot.
Hey. They lost Mac. They lost a Heisman Trophy winner, another first-round wide receiver.
Yeah.
A bunch of NFL talent. Offensively and defensively, in addition to them, they lost their offensive coordinator to Texas. I mean, they lost so much, and they just keep on going, man.
But who do they still have? They still have the wizard.
That's all they need, man. They only need Nick Saban. That's all they need. Alabama. I was watching that game. I'm like, Mike is just gonna. Oh. Between this and Mac starting for New England, Mike is going to be uncontrollable. But
I'm ready.
I know you are. Okay, let's get into Grant now. Grant, I know you were enjoying the college football weekend. We obviously talked a little bit earlier. You were at the Big House. If you want to talk more about that, you can. You don't have to talk MSU, but if you want to, you can mention anything you want with them. As for Michigan, though, what was your thoughts on the win, and how did it feel to be in the Big House to witness that win?
Well, for Michigan, it was good to be proven wrong. Last season, as many have called the COVID year, whatever, was absolutely brutal, and it felt like Jim Harbaugh had taken a turn downwards, and so I had no faith coming into this game. That's why I kind of took the betting a little light this college football Saturday, because you never know what you're going to get, and I was pleasantly surprised with Michigan. Came out, just kind of started slow. I mean, like I said, it was a close game in the first quarter, and that set me up for preparing for a season of distress, but obviously they kind of righted the ship and just kind of crammed it down Western's throat all day. So it felt good. This doesn't feel like a Michigan team with a lot of pop. Losing Ronnie Bell, we'll see how much that plays in to everything, but it doesn't feel like a Michigan team with a lot of pop. It feels like a Michigan team that will beat good or beat bad teams and do battle with good teams and lose to Ohio State at the end of the year. That being said, being at the Big House was, like I said earlier, just really amazing. It was, oh man, that was like, I've been to Tiger games, but being at the Big House on a Saturday for some in-state college football, there was nothing better. It was just a great feeling. There's a new life about me when college football comes around. And then when I go to games I haven't been able to go to for a while. Yeah, it was a good feeling. But as far as Michigan State goes, I didn't really pay much attention.
You don't have to talk Michigan State.
Michigan State, Northwestern, both. The only thing I really noticed was Michigan State and Northwestern, their quarterbacks both had like really strong arms. There were a couple, like even check down throws that were just rifled to the receivers. And I was like, wow, these guys like to throw the ball hard. So I don't know what that means going forward. But that's definitely not a bad thing to have a strong armed quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, regarding Peyton Thorne, Tyler kind of mentioned it a little bit. He looked good, I thought, on Friday night. Now, when your team runs over 300 yards on the ground, you don't necessarily need to do much. So Payton got the job done, and overall, it was a fun week one of college football. All I did on Saturday was watch college football. We had the Tigers in there too, but they were on the laptop. We obviously had college football on the big boy TV, and it was great. Grant, you kind of brought up, you know, 2020, the COVID season a little bit. I kind of want to expand on that really quickly. I'm all for just throwing last year out the window because this weekend, college football was truly back. Oh, it was incredible, man. Grant, was it not incredible having the crowds back and the, you know, the traditions of all these campuses and games across the country? You know, the jump in Wisconsin, the Iowa wave, like all these different traditions are back. The bands, the tailgating. Oh, Grant, it's back, man. It's back.
Dude, I was not near tears, but eyes got a little watery when they played Mr. Brightside at the Big House, because that's like their go-to thing now, which, I mean, is kind of a depressing song, so whatever. You know what? I'm not going to dive into that right now, but yeah, no, hearing that for the first time and hearing the fans echo it back was, man, I'm still getting goosebumps as of Monday at 8:46 p.m.
It was a great week one of college football. And as
I'm with you. Throw last year out of the...
Throw it out the window.
Last year was garbage. Yeah. Last year was garbage. That was not college football.
It was not college football. It was garbage. Given the circumstances, there's nothing they could do, but...
I know. I'd rather just have canceled the season, honestly. I mean, last year I got nothing. Like, a lot of good players opted out. So, like, from a draft perspective, I didn't really get much outside of Mac Jones raising the stock.
Mac Jones would not be New England starting quarterback if last year got canceled.
No, probably not. He'd probably be a day three pick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was cool to have college football last year. It was good to have anything sports-wise back because the original plan was to cancel the season. So the fact that they played last year was cool and all, and we accepted it as what it was, but it's back now, though. It's so back. Week one was great. And as for week two, Youngstown State versus Michigan State on Saturday afternoon, Washington versus Michigan Saturday night on ABC. It's just so good to have college football back. This college football, it's great to have back. It'll be good to have the NFL back, too, this weekend. Let's get into our final topic for today, which will be the NFL and our NFL predictions. Boys, week one is here. Jays Bucks are playing on Thursday night to kick off the season. Lions on Sunday. Grant's Raiders are opening up the Death Star in Vegas on Monday night against Tyler's boy Lamar. Woo! Yeah, talk about a heck of a way to start the season, especially for us. All of us got something big going on this week one of the NFL season. So, what are our predictions for our teams this year? Why don't we discuss, shall we? For me, starting with the Lions, I only see 4 wins with this team. I actually see 3, but I'm going to give the Lions an extra win because the Lions always win a game that they aren't supposed to. And every NFL team does. There's always that one game where it's like, oh, this team has no chance. And they go out there and just somehow pull out a win. It happens to every team, including the Lions. So I'll give them an extra win and say 4 wins this year, which is perfect for me because this team is rebuilding. Wins and losses don't mean much to me this year as much as player performance, team performance, and coaching performance does. And plus, if we don't win a lot of games this year, maybe it means we get a stud in the draft. I mean, the quarterbacks aren't looking great. Sam Howell and Spencer Rattler weren't very impressive in their week one debuts, but there are some stud defensive players out there. Maybe a Kevon Thibodeau, maybe a Kyle Hamilton. I don't know. We'll see. But that's the Lions. I see 4 wins with them. The Raiders. Great, I'm sorry. I see like 6 or 7 wins max. Sure, I don't think this team is very good.
Thank you, Tony.
Sure.
I'm sorry, man. I don't see
That's fine,
it.
I will
defend Grant.
It's fine.
Okay,
it's fine,
Mike's
man.
Going to defend him. Mike's on
I
your
don't
side.
I don't need you guys to believe in him.
Nets Raiders, I believe. I believe as well. I'm with Grant.
Yeah, Eli the flip-flopper.
Yeah. I'm with Grant.
Yeah, Eli went from being a Rams Stafford supporter. Now he's like, I don't care. Go Raiders. But I see 6 or 7 wins with the Vegas Raiders this year. No, don't mute your mic. You got something to say. Say it out loud. Come on, Eli.
I was going to say the Raiders are going to win definitely more games than the Lions.
Oh, and wow. Maybe, that's a hot take from you.
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
Wow, Tyler,
listen,
that's scorching.
I'm not done yet. I'm wow. not done yet. Maybe as many games as the Rams as well.
It's getting oh, hot in here. Now that opinion is just straight up not factual.
That is not happening.
That is just straight up not factual.
This is not
at
happening.
All. That's just not factual at
remember
all.
This remember this at the end of the year the
yeah,
Raiders
we'll
are gonna
right.
win as many games as the Rams.
Eli, how about this? I think the Rams will have more wins by week 9 than the Raiders will have all year.
I disagree. The Rams are cursed, man. If they're cursed,
Eli is off on the Rams because they lost a running back.
They're cursed, man. It's the curse of Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm. The Ravens just lost running back, too. So
the Ravens
are
lost.
Too.
No, the Ravens lost, too. Justice Hill is out
Justice
for the
Hill
year.
Today too, yeah.
Well,
they worked on Le'Veon.
The
I
Ravens,
saw that.
The Ravens, have a running back, you know. He's just playing in a different position.
Oh, stop it.
Boy. Okay. Tyler, since you're talking, let's go to you now. How many wins are you seeing for the Lions and the Raiders this year?
I mean, I think they both have top 10 picks by the end of the year. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really high on either team, honestly. I mean, the Raiders, it's just a tough conference, man. The AFC, it's stacked. There's just a lot of good teams. Like, if the Raiders were in the NFC, maybe I see them in that little pit where, like, they could fight for that 7th seed. But, like, the AFC, like, there's just too many talented teams. I just don't see where they squeeze into the playoffs. So I don't know. I'll go with you, Tony. I think their max is like 6-7 wins. Maybe they could win 8. I don't know. I mean, they're just a very mediocre / bad team. Like, they're just not really much there for me with the Raiders.
Like, when I look at the AFC teams, like I'm looking at them right now, the Bills are obviously better. They're going to win that division. I think the Dolphins might be better than the Raiders. Maybe New England. I don't know. We'll see how Mac does. But going to the AFC North, I think the top three there, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh, they are definitely better than Vegas. AFC South, the Colts are getting healthy now. And if that turns out to be the case, then they're going to be a threat in that division and in the wild card race as well. And then you obviously got Tennessee too. In the West, you got Kansas City. You got the Chargers, who I think will be a wild card team this year. I like what the Chargers are doing right now.
I think they could be close.
You got Denver in there too. They're starting Teddy, not Drew, and they got weapons on offense, and they got some players on defense. I don't really trust Vic Fangio, but I don't know. the point here is that I see a lot of teams in the AFC who I think are better than the Raiders right now.
Just too many good teams, man. Like, if, like I said, if this was the NFC, I think you can make a legitimate argument that they could fight for that seventh seed. I'm not saying they would make it, like, guaranteed, but I think they would be in the middle of that competition where they're, like, fighting for that seventh seed, and maybe they can get more wins if they're, you know, in a weaker conference. Because, I mean, you have to play the Chiefs twice a year, and I know you guys won a game versus them last year, and those games are always competitive.
We won against them last year.
But you got the Chiefs twice a year.
Circle of stadium.
You did? You did. No, it was that was an impressive win. That was a very impressive win. But then you got the Chargers twice a year. Like, those are going to be competitive games. You know, the Broncos should be competitive games. I don't know, top of my head, with division. I think the NFC East is one of the divisions you guys are playing this year, which is, you know, obviously one of the weaker divisions in the NFC. So, I mean, that could lean towards your schedule. But I don't know. I just don't really like how the team is constructed with the Vegas Raiders. So I'll say around 6-7, and they don't make the playoffs. And as far as the Lions, you know, I think they'll be a top five, potentially top three, and maybe the number one pick in this upcoming draft.
Good. Yeah, I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau, Kyle Hamilton, come to me, please.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens throughout the college season, who those prospects were. I think Thibodeau will be in that mix all year round to be the number one pick. And obviously, if
Houston, please take Spencer Rattler.
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll see what these quarterbacks could do, man. I mean, it wasn't a great outing from the
quarterbacks. I still like Spencer Rattler.
Rattler's still my number one right now. But
Sam Howell might be – he's scaring me a little bit. I was like –
he didn't look good, man.
I didn't have a definite opinion on him. I was like, okay, we'll see how he does this year. But, oh.
I'm not trying to overreact right now because it was only week one, but
– but.
But, no, that wasn't pretty. It was not a pretty – I mean, he lost a lot of NFL talent too, so, you know, it's showing – did he get a lot of help from the NFL talent? Because he got two running backs in the NFL now, Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, and then two receivers, Diame Brown, and I believe it was Dez Fitzpatrick, I believe is the other one that was in that team last year. I might be wrong. It was either Newsom or Fitzpatrick. I don't remember. But I don't know. We'll see what Howell does for the rest of the season. So I don't know.
It's only one game.
It's only week one, you know. Yeah. But that team might be overrated.
UNC? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So.
Yeah. Who was that QB that was under pressure and then he just chucked the ball away like behind his back?
That was LSU. LSU quarterback.
I don't know who that is.
That was hilarious. I do not want that guy ever.
A very dangerous play. Yeah, he was under pressure and he just threw the ball behind his back. I was watching that game. I'm like, what are you doing?
I saw the replay of that.
LSU was one of the teams that bet on too. So, you know, I was like, what are you doing?
Coach O, man, go Tigers.
Go Tigers. You see what UCLA is doing to them? The Twitter page?
Yes.
Oh, well.
The Chip Kelly UCLA.
Chip Kelly's the coach?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey, that UCLA team's, they're cooking right now. But going back to the NFL, though, I'm going to say something. And I want everyone to let me say it, and then I'll mute my mic. Please don't come after me. Tyler, I feel like you might agree with me on this, so please okay. defend me when Grant, Eli, and Mike come after me after I say this. For as much as we joke with Gruden on this podcast, as much as we like him, I'm going to say something. One of the reasons why I'm not high on the Raiders is because I don't think he can coach in 2021. Ooh. My mic is muted.
He can't coach for crap.
He can't.
I'm not gonna complain when he's back in the
Wait. Everyone, be quiet. Grant just said something. What did you just say?
He can't coach for crap.
Hey, okay. At least Grant said it. I thought Grant was gonna be like, okay, buddy, and then Eli and Mike were just gonna be like,
I'm sick of this era of the Vegas Raiders. I'm sick of John Gruden and Mike Mayock. Their smartest man approach, taking only guys from big universities. I'm sick of it.
Enough talking from us. Let's get the actual Vegas Raiders fan in here. Defend your Raiders, man, and give us a Lions prediction, too.
All right, I'm going to do both, but a lot of thoughts just off the top of my head right now. First things first, I'm more confident in this team now because, okay, the Raiders were 8-8 last season. Tough schedule.
Man, last year's last year, though.
Okay, but hear me out. On every position but their offensive line, the Raiders have gotten better. They've and their offensive line is not plummeted. Sure, it's not the offensive line from 2016, where they were like the best offensive line in the league, but they got significantly better on defense. They brought in Gus Bradley because he teaches a much more or a much less complex defense than Paul Gunther did. And they're bringing in KJ Wright. They're bringing in, like, drafting talent. Like, that guy Nate Hobbs is showing up already. I don't know. I have a hard time believing they go 6 or 7. Because truly, they have an easy middle. Like, they have a juicy middle of the pack schedule. Or middle of the season schedule, if you will. Like, the start of the year, tough. I'll give you that. End of the year, tough. I'll give you that as well. But in the middle, they get, like, the Cowboys, the football team, a couple other teams that definitely aren't really factors as much as, say, the Chiefs or potentially the Chargers. That being said, John Gruden is the thing I'm the least confident about. And Mike Mayock as well. They just cut third-round pick Tanner Muse today out of Clemson, big university. And they're getting into a pretty dangerous stretch of cutting early picks. They cut Lynn Bowden, Miami Dolphin, or no, he is now released. But they drafted him, cut him before he even saw a preseason game. And it's just, they hit on some things. Like, I think Max Crosby was a great pick. But when you have the fourth pick in the draft and you take Cleveland Farrell, that's when I was soured on this Gruyock. Or whatever you want to call it. I genuinely think the front office is the worst part about the Raiders right now. And that's saying something because our defense was horrible last year.
Should hire Patricia?
No, never. Ever. I like where Gus Bradley's headed. And, I mean, at least defensively, like, not saying from a head coach standpoint. But last thing on the Raiders, like, from 2014, Matthew Stafford and Derek Carr led the league in comeback games in the fourth quarter. Like, I'm not saying that the Raiders are going to beat all the good teams, but just because a team's good doesn't mean the Raiders can't win. And with their improvements on defense, I don't think they're going to see the blowouts that happened in Atlanta and Tampa Bay. And I think they're going to be some close games, and that's where it gets weird. I truly think there's going to be a lot of coin flip games that come down to it at the end, and I'm not saying we win all of them, but I'd love to say that they win more than they don't, but that's where it comes down to. They could be a 7-10 team, a 6-11 team with those coin flips, or they could, I think, get up to 10 wins with the extra game this season, so 10-7. Like, they weren't a 10-win team with the 16-game slate.
So you're saying what they could be, but what do you think they will be?
I truly have them at 9-8. I think they've improved. I don't think they're worse. They have an easier schedule, less travel. I don't know. I could see not 8-9. I'm predicting 9. 9-8 on the table right there. Call it at that. But no, I mean, it's not like they're a dominant force yet. There's time to build around this very young core they have. But again, it's going to be a toss up. And the last two seasons, they're like 1-11 or something in the last 2 months of the year. So that's what really is going to come into play.
Is this a playoff team, Grant?
No. 9-8 doesn't get you in the playoffs. 9-8 doesn't get you in the playoffs in the AFC. I don't think it does in the NFC either. But as much as I'd love to see it, dude, like, three teams would probably have to come out of the AFC West for that to happen. And I don't see that happening either. I mean, yeah, because I think the Chargers make it. I don't think that's a crazy take. And I think the Chiefs make it. And I think that's almost guaranteed. So it's just tough being where they are, like, in the AFC West, like you've been saying.
Okay, so yeah, I'm writing down all these predictions just so that we could come back to it and either laugh or brag about it after the season.
Well, we're not that off. Like, we're not that different, honestly. I thought, like, Grant was going to give me more of a homer opinion, and I thought he was going to say they were a playoff team. I mean, 9 wins could be a playoff team.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of good teams that could just beat up on each other all season, and a 9-8 team kind of, like, stumbles its way in. But, like, in my opinion, that's not a playoff team. Like, a playoff team is you like the Bucks. A good shot at the wild card. Oh. Sure, man. Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like a that's a deep playoff run. But like, if you're not active, like the Browns and Steelers are both playoff teams. I wouldn't say the Raiders fall under Browns and Steelers.
I don't know about the Steelers.
I don't know about the Steelers, man.
Maybe not the Steelers? All right, cool. That's another win.
You want to replace them with the Ravens? Then yes, we're talking, but not.
Yeah, I'd probably put the Steelers at three right now in that division. If I had to do predictions right now, like early predictions, I'd probably put the Steelers number three.
Mm-hmm. I got a question for Grant. So let's say the Raiders do go 9-8. They don't make the playoffs.
Good question.
What are you doing with Gruden?
Good question.
That's a great question.
Both him and Mike Mayock should return to their TV personality.
Wow. Even after a winning year.
And then you can hire Patricia.
Patricia's not happening.
He's the next Patriots head coach, man.
Hey, they just got Jelani Tavai, so...
Did they?
On the
practice squad. Practice
of course they did. Oh, my God. That's just gross.
Yeah, they got Jelani Tavai, man. Grant, very quickly, what's your Lions prediction?
5-12, strictly because I'm higher on Jared Goff than most.
Okay.
I'm higher than most on Jared Goff. I think he has that talent, man. We've seen Jared Goff be electric. We've seen him be solid. I know he doesn't have a great receiving core to work with at this time, but I think he can make it happen, dude. He has to realize he's playing for his future, too. Like, he's not just the quarterback of the future. He's fighting to either be the Lions guy going forward or be traded somewhere else when the Lions draft somebody.
I don't know. I like the optimism on Goff, but I don't know, man.
I don't know. I don't see really a big difference from 3-5, though. Like, if they win 3 or 5, I wouldn't be shocked either way. Like, would you be shocked if they won 5 games, Tony?
Yes.
You would be shocked. Like, if they won seven games.
I seriously think this is a 3-win roster.
Like, if they won 7 games, I'd be shocked. But, like, if they won 5 or they won 4, they won 3, like, I'm not shocked. I think it's anywhere from that range.
I'll be stunned when they win a game, period, honestly. I'm not trying to crap in the Lions here, but, like, man, that roster.
No, it's not a great roster, but it's the NFL. It's like,
I know.
It's so hard to go 0-17.
They are not going 0-17. That belongs in Houston.
If anyone's going to do it. Which I don't think they're gonna do either. But I
don't know.
It's a bad football team, but
I don't know who Houston is going to beat, man. But that's
it's the NFL. They're gonna beat
and they are the Houston Texans. So
and they play in a very crappy division. They get to play the Jaguars.
Yeah, and they're the worst of it.
Oh yeah, well I'm not arguing that, but you got to assume they take at least one out of the Jaguars, maybe.
Maybe. I don't trust Urban Meyer at all, but I would get everyone else's teams involved in this kind of prediction talk, but I'm not trying to talk Bucks with Jay, so we'll just
let me get 30 seconds, bro.
Okay, go. Make it quick.
4-12. No, 4-13. 4-13, sorry. That's 4-13. Okay. They win 5. It's a blessing. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Blessing, yes.
Thomas Edric Patrick Brady Jr., right?
That's why I didn't want
to. 5.28 in the 40-yard meter dash, August 3rd, 1977. Anyway, Super Bowl or bust? Easy. Yeah. He went to Michigan, too. San Mateo, California. Yeah, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Jay, are you actually a Bucks fan, or are you – like, who's your actual team? Who's your actual team?
The Bucks.
My team is, like, whoever, like, Tom plays for. Like how Tony is with Bron.
Okay, but Tony's actual team is the Pistons. Like, he Bron's, like, his guy. But
no, like, deep down, like, my team's the Detroit teams, but I have favorite players.
Okay,
and, like, for the Bucks, and I like Gronk, too, so it kind of levels out.
Okay, that's fair. Fair enough.
I was going to say something. I'm not going to say it. Mike, what's your prediction for the – What's your prediction for the Patriots this year, Mike?
The Patriots? Oh, boy.
Playoffs. Well, that's Mac's team.
Playoffs. They're going to get 11 wins. You heard
I got another take.
No,
the Patriots, the Rams, and the Raiders are going to have the same exact record.
That's actually interesting.
What is up with Rams slander?
No, it is not.
After losing Cam Akers.
It's
not because of that.
The Rams are going to be like 11 and like 6.
It should be. Well, yeah, that'd be cool. The Raiders should be 11 and 6.
I'm really about to be a Patriots fan, aren't I?
Oh, yes, you are, man. The minute Mac throws a touchdown pass, you're going to be like,
Mike, you already are a Patriots fan. You already know.
The minute Patricia got back there, you were all in.
Please stop.
While we're on the topic, though,
I was one of the biggest Patriots haters in the world because I cannot stand that bum system quarterback that has absolutely zero talent or skill.
Mikey proved it last year, dude. He won a Super Bowl without Bill.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, you better stop it now. You better stop.
That's because he stacked the team. You know how easy it is to get players.
Tony, he can't do this, bro.
Oh, yes, he can. You notice I'm not saying anything? Because he's speaking the truth.
He won without him.
This is disrespectful.
I don't care. It's my opinion.
He's great. He's great in real life and on Madden. Ask Tyler.
He's just lucky.
Stop. Jay, I was just defending your guy. He's Mike lucky on Madden, too. Tony, do you remember our Madden game?
No.
Yeah, no, Tony doesn't.
No. I don't remember a lot of that night.
Hey,
no.
For me and Tony, though, Rams and Bucks, NFC Championship game, eh?
Yeah, then the Rams are going to destroy him.
And Matt Stafford will continue to be a loser for the rest of his career.
Jay is right, man. Jay is right.
What?
You guys are sleeping on the Niners right now.
Eli is literally the biggest flip-flopper I have ever seen.
It's so sad, Jay.
He can't beat Tom Brady with that team. We have all 22 starters playing again.
He's not even going to make it there, Jay. Don't worry. He's not even going to make it there.
See, I'm not going that far now.
What about Rodgers' last dance?
I'm leaving. We're done.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done. We're leaving. This has been fun. We'll see you next week.
Can I ask you a thing?
Okay. No. Please, no. make it quick.
First off, Derek Carr could have won with the Bucks. Could have won it all last year with the Bucks. So this Super Bowl is not on Tom Brady's greatness.
Yep.
And Tony
kick him off the show!
No, he's factual. Tom Brady had 200 passing yards in that game. They won because of the defense.
Tom Brady didn't have an MCL. He played without an MCL. That shows how much he actually has to do for that team.
Patrick Mahomes wishes he was like Brady.
Oh, I'm actually leaving now. That is the worst take.
He'll never get 7 rings.
At least he didn't say Lamar.
Lamar may not win one.
He is a good win one. He is a good one.
And secondly, I'm drafting Mac Jones as my fantasy quarterback.
Oh, yes. Beautiful.
Baby!
Is Tony okay?
No, I'm not. I'm leaving. Goodbye. We'll see you next week for our week one reaction, and Grant's just going to be a stressful mess because of the Raiders. Goodbye, everybody. For Eli, Mike, Jay, Grant, and Tyler, my name is Tony Abrowski. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all soon.